Hello there, and a very warm welcome to this week's special edition of the official EFL podcast as we look ahead to the Bristol Street Motors Trophy final this Sunday at Wembley between Peterborough United and Wycombe Wanderers. A special pod needs special guests, and my word, have I delivered for you lovely people. In the posh end, a former goal scorer supreme for them in the shape of Craig McHale-Smith, and for Wycombe, he's quite simply a Wanderers playing legend who's now the boss, of course. It's Matt Bloomfield. Gentlemen, welcome. I'll start with you, Craig. How are you?
All good. Looking forward to a good chat.
Oh, we're very happy that you're here. Matt Bloomfield, the boss. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Prats.
Pleasure to see you both, and of course, former teammates. And before we were all doing our technical stuff, getting on board with this, Craig says something very pertinent in the sense of, if I could name a former teammate who was going to become a manager, it would have been Matt Bloomfield. It's tended to be the case, hasn't it, Matt? Has it always been the dream to be the boss?
I think it has been. I love being involved in football. My life has always been involved in football, and it just seemed a natural progression for me to want to go into coaching and management. I think that, you know, these opportunities are few and far between. There's only, 72 EFL clubs, so You never know whether you're going to get the opportunity, but I always wanted to be prepared. And if the opportunity ever arose, I wanted to be ready to take it. And luckily for me, Colchester believed in me to give me that chance. And obviously coming back to Wycombe's been a pretty special time.
So come on then, Craig, tell us what it was about Matt that made him management material. Was it the fact that he liked telling people what to do? He was very bossy and just very punctual at all times.
Yeah, I think his professionalism, like, it just stood out from everything. Like, everything he did, he was first in. His training was just perfect. He'd stay after training and do extra runs. Like, you could just see that, like, he was just moulded to be a manager. And obviously, we knew it was coming. Like, we knew one day he'd be the manager. And obviously, the club and him fit perfectly well together. And it's great to see him at the club that he is such a big legend of.
Well, I said that in the intro, didn't I, Matt, about Craig? I mean, his goal-scoring record, not just at Peterborough, but across his career, speaks for itself. Was he a stereotypical striker? Did you need to give him a kick up the backside? Did you need to stay on top of him on a Saturday and during training?
C-Mac was a guy that came alive on a Saturday, actually.
Terrible in training. I know exactly what that means.
Yeah. The politest way I could think about putting it. It was amazing. We had an experienced group, we'll say, when Craig was with us, with Tyson, Bayo, myself, Sam Saunders, Beanie, Adam Elab. Like, we had a real experienced group who just wanted to go and achieve something more. And we got promoted out of League Two. It was a really special time, actually, because we had a lot of like-minded people who just wanted to have one last hurrah in the league and go and achieve something. And Craig was pivotal to that. His goals, his work rate, just one of those guys that could always be relied upon on a Saturday afternoon.
the best time. That's a knowing laugh, Craig. Exactly. But how strikers are valued. I mean, it's the hardest job in football, isn't it, being a striker?
Yeah. The thing is, it's not like I didn't try in training. It's I needed the pressure of a game to get me going. I needed adrenaline. So, like, and also I needed to save my energy. So yeah, some days I look more like a Sunday league player than the professional player. But as Matt said, I tried to save everything for a Saturday when it counted.
The thing about Craig was, to the point of everything he did was making sure that he was ready for a Saturday afternoon. So he'd be in the gym, he'd be doing the extra bit. So that, I don't want to be disrespectful when I said that. That was just a joke, but he knows that we used to joke about. But it would all be getting his body right for a Saturday afternoon. I remember playing against him when he was at Peterborough and thinking, this geezer, him and McLean up front, and it was a nightmare. So when we signed, it was a nightmare to play against the pair of them. So when we signed C-Mac, I'll say we had Bayo and Tice at the time. So we had real know-how and goal-scoring prowess up there.
From a management point of view then, Matt, that was as a teammate. Have you had to work out those things for your players? What makes those players tick? The ones that you can kind of go, well, I can box him off because I know by Saturday or Tuesday night or Sunday afternoon is this weekend, I'm going to get exactly what I want out of him. And do you have to manage them accordingly? Is it giving you a greater kind of, not respect, because you strike me as a man that would be able to nail that pretty quickly from a mental point of view, but an understanding, if you like, of what different players need?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone's different and every player needs something different. And I think the key to management is to try and work that out as quickly as you possibly can. You know, I've had the great pleasure of sharing a change room with loads of different characters over the years, and it gives you an insight into what makes people tick. We've got lads here who, you know, that every moment of every training session they will be all in, and others that may not be quite so much, but come a Saturday afternoon, you know, they're going to give you everything. So you have to try and keep the standards as high as you possibly can, but make small allowances where necessary, because you can't expect everybody to be a robot and be machine-like. There's little human nuances that go into it, and as long as people are giving you everything they've got on a Saturday afternoon and performing, I think the problems come when someone's not performing on Saturday and their standards are dropping slightly. That's when you have to make sure you crack down on it. But like I say, you have to try and treat the individual as an individual to make sure that you're getting the most out of everybody you can.
Speaking of standards, Craig, Darren Ferguson strikes me as someone that likes to run a particular type of ship, but allows his players to be creative as well, because the very best posh sides he's been a manager of, I mean, they've been free scoring, they've been attractive to watch. Matt mentions yourself and Aaron McLean, George Boyd chuck him into the mix as well. I remember playing against that formidable trio, voted, I think, in many areas, Peterborough's best attacking forward line in their entire history. Was he the type of manager, and given, let's reflect on the team that they've got now, very similar with the way that they go about the opposition, would he allow you to go and do your own thing to a certain extent on a match day?
Yeah, I think it's maybe a little bit different now because of what the structure of the way they play. When we were playing, it was kind of like just go forward with pace and power and try and score as many goals as you can and try not to concede more than you score. So it was always fun for an attacker, like. It was always enjoyable to play, and we set those standards as a team, and obviously he governed those standards when we were training and playing. Obviously the group now is a different type of football. It's more structured. He's got them playing fantastic football. They know their jobs inside out. They're a real good young bunch of lads like we were, and he's given them a bit of free rein and allowed them to go and express themselves. And I think they've got that naivety, that youthfulness of excitement, and they follow his tune. Like he is obviously a legend at Peterborough. He's done great things there, and he's doing it again with this team.
You've come across them a couple of times as well, of course, Matt, and it's been pretty favourable, hasn't it? I mean, does that have any bearing whatsoever on what Sunday becomes as a matchup?
No, I don't think so. I think that we know we're up against a very good team. We've had two real good games, and both games could have gone either way. In many ways, I felt we put on a more complete performance at London Road in the 2-2 draw than we did at home. There were small moments that we did really well in, but Peterborough have got a really attacking team, as Craig said. They've got some players that can hurt you. They have a really defined style and structure with their performance, and I think that Darren's done an incredible job there with a young team that's growing all the time. So, look, from our point of view, mate, we've been pleased with the two performances we've put out against Peterborough this season so far. But Sunday's a new occasion. It's a new day. It'll be a distinct style we play against, some really good players, and we're going to have to be at our best. We believe that we've actually improved since we've played those two games against Peterborough. Mm-hmm. Since January window, we feel like we've taken a step forward. Our form's been decent. We've built a little bit of momentum, and we're looking forward to being the best we can be. And we hope and we're sure it'll be a good game off the back of it.
Well, it's certainly one that we're all looking forward to, particularly, of course, being at Wembley and what that brings with regards to how players, former players, managers manage that type of expectation. From a posh point of view, Craig, given what they've been used to with a team that's always been kind of duking it out at the very top end of League One, potentially, I mean, we don't want to offend Matt here by talking about a Peterborough win, and in a minute I'll talk to Matt about a potential Wickham win. But from Peterborough's point of view, is success on Sunday that trampoline effect, if you like, that push forward between now and the end of the season? Because we've seen it before, haven't we? We've seen teams win the EFL Trophy, then go on to be promoted, or if they come back in the playoffs, it sets them up. It gives them an idea of what Wembley and the occasion might be like. Is it potentially something that Darren's looking at with regards to moving on from Sunday victoriously and it being a catalyst for the end of the season?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's momentum. Obviously, I think it's just, say, if this trophy was kind of halfway through the season, maybe it'd be seen differently. But obviously, with Posh doing so well, you want to keep the momentum. Obviously, they come off the back of the international break. I think, a little bit rusty, and they lost to Carlisle, and then they've gone and won at Orient. And I think you just want to keep the momentum. You don't want to kind of go there and try and enjoy the occasion. And maybe if you lose, it's okay. Mm. You want to win, because they're right at the kind of the last little bit of the season, pushing automatics still within reach. So you want to take that momentum. You want the players to be confident and be ready to go from this game on Sunday to the next league game. You don't want to kind of have to pick them up again after maybe a defeat. So it's going to, I think it's really important. I think it's a real big focus for them. They'll want to win it, obviously, it's a great occasion, but they also want to win it to keep the momentum for the league push.
And you know, Matt, of course, don't you, about what Wembley can be at both ends of the spectrum. It can be the loneliest place, I presume, and it can be the most joyous place as well, doesn't it? And is that what you draw on as a manager to get your players' heads around that part of it? Because I presume by now, at this stage in the season, they all know the jobs. They all know what you want them to do. And tactically, technically, you're just about there. But now it's about the head and the heart, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I've experienced polar opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of feelings at Wembley. Devastation and euphoria is the two that it can be. It can be a lonely place, but it could be the most euphoric place to win. So I think that it's good that we've got a few people in the building that have experienced that before, both, so we can lean on those experiences and know what it takes to prepare for the game, know what it takes to win. As I've said before, we're up against a really good opponent, but we're building something new at Wickham. I was luckily to be a part of what was a legacy before me with Craig, and it was an incredible time for this football club. But as with everything, it has to come to an end at some point. We're building something new. We've been really pleased. Whilst we've had some tough moments throughout the season, we've been really pleased with the evolvement and the transformation that we've kind of made since Christmas in the way we've been playing. So yeah, it's an exciting time for us. We want to use Sunday as a springboard to better things for us, because we believe in what we're trying to build here. So we're looking forward to the game. We're up against a good team, and we believe in ourselves as a good team also. So it promises to be a good game, and we want to make sure we make the most of it.
You mentioned about the legacy at Wickham Wanderers. I mean, have either of you played for another manager that wore cowboy boots, or has it just literally been Gareth Ainsworth? Is he the only one?
He's the only one, yeah.
He's the only one who wears cowboy boots, isn't he, I think?
Blooms, you got to bring him out for the final, ain't you?
Absolutely no chance.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Just casually walk out, looking over at Fergie. What? I've always worn that. But he is a man unlike any other, isn't he? You both had experience of playing for several different managers. I mean, the unique part of what it is for you, Matt, is several different managers in pretty much the same place. Whereas with you, Craig, and your career around the EFL, these managers do come and go. They do stick out. I'll come to you first, Craig. I mean, I just mentioned Gareth there. But that management side of the game, what Matt's chucked himself into over the deep end, and that's the only way you can do it. You've got to immerse yourself in it. You've got to throw yourself at it. Is that over the course of your career, playing for all the different clubs that you did, was that itch ever scratched? That kind of, oh, I don't mind giving this a blast, or was that something that you thought, no?
No.
You're already shaking your head.
Yeah, no, it was that side of it always just looked chaotic, and having to deal with 22 or 25, whatever the size of the squad, in like personalities. Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah, kindergarten. So, it's tough. And I've been in to see Matt, and I was in for a day, and I sat in the office, and it was just carnage. It was just people in and out, like, we need to do this, we need to do that. He's in training, he's not in training, doing the video analysis. And it was just, it's a lot. Yeah, so the complete side, I think, of being a manager, it would be too much for me. I think I want to work with strikers because that's my niche. I know that area. I like the analysis, looking at how to improve them, that side. I think the complete side of it, the tactics, managing 20-odd people's personalities, working on the kind of defending side, which I was no good at, I think would just be, it's just too much for me. I just want to keep it simple. As I said, when I saw Matt, that looks like my house on an evening. So I was thinking I'll stay away from that.
Could you see that in his face, Matt, as he was sat in your office?
Yeah, I did. And am I weird that I actually love that part of it? I love the organisation. I love trying to build something. I love the whole, not the chaos. I love the building and the structuring and putting it all together, that's the bit that really gets me going. So isn't it, it's funny, isn't it? I could see the fear in C-Mac's face when he spent the day with us. It was just utter fear, and I knew it wasn't for him.
That point they're making there, though, Craig, about working with strikers, from your point of view, Matt, I mean, I've played against Craig, you played with Craig and against him. I mean, the sheer volume of goals that he scored, not just at Peterborough, I mean, you're knocking on 100 goals there, right? But around the divisions. Did you see, you talk about how he was in training and how he was in games. Would you class yourself as lucky to play with a natural finisher such as Craig? And then when you're trying to talk to your strikers, how tough is that? Because we've all come across players that you just think, he's done it again. I mean, it's either goes through the legs and the near post. It goes, and I'm not denigrating any goals that you scored, Macca, but it's the same thing where you're going, how was that? If I did that, that wouldn't happen. But you've done it and it's gone in again. It's off his kneecap, off whatever. Do you have players and strikers that you've come across in that? And it's almost a sense of using again that experience of saying, well, this player did this, but he was very special at doing that. You might need to do this, which is slightly different.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Craig, he just had a knack. Whatever it was, that gift, that knack of just being in, but that's not luck, it's not chance. He knew how to read the game, how to get his body in positions to, you know, he wasn't always a pure strike, and he was able to get his body in positions that was able to get on the end of something that maybe you weren't thinking he was, or he'd be able to maneuver himself to get a shot off that you didn't expect. And he just had a knack, had that gift of scoring goals. I wish I had it. I certainly didn't. And I wish I did, because, those kind of guys are priceless, aren't they? And Craig was that guy. You knew that if a chance dropped to him, more than likely it was going to hit the back of the net. And he just had that know-how, that knack, that instinct, whatever, that gift, whatever you want to give it, he had it. And, you know, those guys are worth their, you know, weight in gold, aren't they?
Where does it come from then, Craig? Is it a natural instinct? Was it something you always had? Were you ever in another position, or were you always a striker?
No, a long time ago, when I was kind of like coming through St Albans and Arsley and stuff like that, I was like a winger. And then like John Steele, when I was at Dagenham, put me as a winger, and then he moved me up front. So I had to work at it. I wasn't ever the cleanest of finishers. I was always very raw. And then as I kind of progressed and went through the leagues, I went to Peterborough and I worked with a guy called Mark Robson. We spent like a season working on becoming a bit more of a polished finisher. But my thought was always just get the ball on target. It doesn't matter what it comes off. If it comes off your kneecap, if it comes off your toe, like that. And a lot of my finishes were, but it was just like, if you can get it on target, you give yourself a chance to score. Mm. And that was always like, I was always trying to do that, trying to get the shots on target to give myself that opportunity of scoring. It kind of, as I got older, I've started to learn and focus on it differently as I've got older, because obviously your pace wanes a little bit, and you have to kind of think of different ways to get into different positions. And that's what I enjoy about the striker coaching, is looking at all these different types of strikers and giving them the tools that they need to get themselves into the right position to score goals.
It's amazing listening to strikers, isn't it, Matt? They always make it sound wonderfully simplistic, even though there is an alluding there to some serious hard work, Matt.
I don't know why I found it impossible. Right,
exactly, yeah. Just get there and it goes in. Brilliant, thanks for that. Matt, from your point of view, right, John Gorman, Paul Lambert, Gary Waddock, Peter Taylor, Gareth Ainsworth, which one of those are you most like?
Oh, good question. I don't know. I think I tried to take a little bit from everyone. I know everyone says that, but I tried to take what I really liked and admired and try to use that in ways. You know, going back to John Gorman, I love the fact that our games often finished 4-3, 5-4. It was a great time. Paul Lambert, it was just his sheer and desire to win at all costs. Peter Taylor, his structure and his, you know, the way we used to get wins from the structure and the team shape. You know, Gary Waddock, another lovely passing style. We had good success with Gary, got promoted. And obviously, you know, the success we had under the gaffer before goes and speaks for itself. So I tried to take a little bit of everyone. But beneath it all, you have to be yourself. And I think that the game and the generation now is about the people and the lads and organising them, getting the best out of them and being yourself with them, trying to organise the way that football's moved on. I think that the football and you know, shapes and interchanging shapes has evolved a lot in the last 5 years. Even it's a a very athletic, a very running game now. Look at the pace that's in League One. I think it's better than it's ever been before. It's a tougher league than it's ever been. So the game's moved on and you have to go with the times. Try and make the best you can of yourself. Try and take the input of those you played for. So if I've managed to avoid your question as best as possibly can.
Master diplomat. But again, that's what being a manager is, isn't it? Keeping everybody happy and keeping that smile on your face as well, which you always do. Right, we're going to come on to Wickham's key players in just a second. But from a Peterborough point of view, Craig, I mean, there's so much to like about the way that they go forward. I mean, if we start at the back, you've got Harrison Burrows, who's up for the League One Player of the Season. That shows what a season he's had. But Ricky Jade-Jones, Kwame Poko, Ephraim Mason-Clark, all players that if you've even had a passing look at Peterborough over the last couple of seasons, a passing resemblance to what they can do, they can cause some serious problems. Hector Kipriano as well, another one that stands out. And of course, you've got the old stage, I'll never say that to his face because he's really big, Johnson Clark Harris, that can, as we well know, nick a goal at this level and above. I mean, is anyone out of those that you'd pick out especially for, if you are, as I said, just passing through the Bristol Street Motors Trophy final on Sunday, that you go, do you know what? He could be a game changer.
I think obviously the two wide men, Poku and Efron, have been unbelievable. I think the game's very much kind of geared towards them. You've got obviously Ricky, and you've got who's been down the middle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've got Johnson Clark Harris, who's been an absolute fantastic player for the club, and he's doing fantastic when he gets his opportunities. But I think the two wide boys are very, very dangerous. They it shows by their goals and assists that they've scored this season. I think obviously with the size of the Wembley pitch, I think it's only going to be a real positive for them to open their legs up. And obviously with the way Posh play and their kind of intricate passing and trying to stretch the game and give them the opportunity to run with the ball, I think it'll be an interesting afternoon for Wickham.
So there's Peterborough's trade secrets. Let's go straight to Wickham's trade secrets as well with regards to lineups. Dale Taylor's a name that stands out, of course. Kem Campbell making good use of the loan system as well, Matt, which I presume with Wickham's kind of approach, and as we well know, as you filter down the pyramid, cloth has to be cut accordingly with players that you do bring in. And there's so much to like about this side. Bezlabala as well is one that stands out, but of course, it's going to be a different makeup of the team that perhaps takes the field on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had to utilise the loan market this season, like you say, with a club of our size. We have to live within our SDMP and what we are allowed to spend. So we've had to try and utilise that as best we possibly can. Freddie Potts has been a roaring success of the loan market for us this season. Dale Taylor, Nigel Lonvike, who we only got in January from Wolves, but really fortunate to get him. So yeah, we've been able to use that the best we can. We've got some real good experience around the building, as you well know, lads who have been there and done it. We're trying to build a team, with my stamp on it as well. So there's a slight evolution going on as well within the building, which I think that, you know, been made some good steps forward. There's plenty more to come, plenty of challenges ahead, but we've made some good steps forward, and I'm proud of how the lads have taken on the information that we tried to give them. So, yeah, we're pleased with the group we've got. I trust them. I trust the group to go out and play, and I'm looking forward to seeing them out there on Saturday. They've worked so hard. We've had a lot of challenges this season with injuries, and we've had a lot of challenges with getting out on the training ground and getting on grass as much as we can because of the rainfall. So the lads have had a lot of challenges, but they've come through it. They've shown incredible resilience to keep finding ways to pick up points and get ourselves further up the league when we've had those challenges. But yeah, I'm really proud of them, and I'm looking forward to seeing them going out on Wembley and performing in the way that I know that we can, the way that they believe they can. And if we do that, then we've got every chance of winning the game.
How proud does it make you think about it, and how proud do you think you'll be? Because we talk about loyalty and relationships and rapport in football, and as we know, it's all very, very fleeting. But to be tied to a club, I said tied, that makes it sound like a bad thing. To be wrapped up in a club for the best part of 20 years, it's second home, first home, what is it? It's where you hang your hat professionally.
Yeah, it's where I've grown up. I joined as a 19-year-old and I'm now 40, and I've spent every moment here apart from 4.5 months that I was extremely fortunate to spend at Colchester to cut my teeth in the management game. So, yeah, I think that it's been loyalty from both sides. There's been some times when I could have possibly chosen to leave, and there's been times when the club could have chosen that I left. You know, even through this tough season that we've had, the loyalty and the backing that I've received from Rob and Pete, their belief in me has been unwavering, and you know, I've been fully appreciative of that, and our belief as a group of how we're going to move forward. So it's quite rare. There's been obviously times when it's been a bit rocky, but we've achieved a lot in that time. We've gone through a lot together, and I certainly hope that we've got some, you know, some sunnier times ahead, because I know what I want to achieve in this game and management. I know what the club wants to go on and move this place forward to do. So I think that goes hand in hand. And if we keep working the way we have been over this last little period of time, then I full belief that there are sunnier times ahead.
Matt mentions Rob and Pete there, Craig, when it comes to talk about the ownership and the running of Wycombe Wanderers. I don't know if you know, but I mean, they're not wallflowers at Peterborough, are they? Darren McAntony and Barry Fry. But the dynamic that brings to that particular football club, I mean, it's uniquely theirs, isn't it? And that's a big part of what Peterborough are. And they'll enjoy Sunday afternoon, won't they?
Yeah, it'd be a great day. Obviously, they've both been fantastic for the club. Barry doing his side of it. He's been there over, I think, 25 years now. And he loves that club with everything he has. And obviously, Darryl come in. He saved the club in a sense, and he's kind of pushed that club forward, and he's kept the club always competing every season. So those two guys have been fantastic for Peterborough, and have allowed the club to flourish, and say always competing every season. They're competing on some aspect. They're still putting money in, still trying to increase the squad, still generating fantastic youngsters who are going on to bigger and better things. So it's a great club, and they've done great things for it, and hopefully there's kind of more success to come for them.
Matt, any nerves? Just a few days out from Sunday. What does the next couple of days look like for you with the boys and the training schedule?
Yeah, no, we're all good, mate. We've obviously had a really busy Easter weekend, and you know, we've not allowed our minds to wander too far to the future. So we're just coming off the back of that, preparing for the weekend. The lads have been in and trained today. Tomorrow we'll do our tactical work and prepare for the weekend. So, you know, whilst it's not going to be any normal game, you have to try and prepare as much as you can. Keep our processes in place, believe in what we've been doing, believe in how we've been playing and building, and look forward to the weekend with calm minds. We are looking forward to it, but also the focus has to be on ourselves and performing the way we know we can.
That was the key thing I took from reading your post-match notes from the Easter weekend, is good form. Like you say, the parameters are all different around this, but as soon as the whistle goes, it's your 11 against their 11. Good form can take you through it, can't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Peterborough have had decent form themselves, you know, and we've had good form. We've been building slowly, mate. You know, we've had a good start to the season. Then we had a you know, tricky spell in the middle, and we've come through that. The resilience we've found, you know, with the January signings and the resilience amongst the group to keep improving, keep moving forward. So we've been playing some good football, mate. We're trying to evolve the way we're doing things. We're trying to be as attacking as we possibly can and create some exciting moments for our supporters. So if we can do that on Saturday, then I'll be proud. Our performance level high gives us a chance of winning the game.
And Craig, from your point of view, tugging at the heartstrings, your former club at Wembley, do you get nervous watching them on occasions such as this?
No, I look forward to it. It's going to be fantastic. Obviously, I've represented both clubs, so it's great to go there and see them. Obviously, I played with Matt, so it's great to see him doing so well and the club, I say, performing at Wembley. It'll be an enjoyable day. I think it's going to be lots of entertainment. Obviously, Peterborough played Wycombe twice this season and come off a loss twice, so they feel that they might have some retribution to hand out to them. So it'll be really exciting to see how the game plays out.
Who do you want to win, Craig?
Huh? I want football to win.
Wow. That was almost a cliche-free chat, lads. That was amazing. But Mac has absolutely finishes off with football being... We all want football to be the real win, don't we? Yeah. My word. Last thing from you both, anything that really wound you up about the other as teammates? You first, Craig.
Wound me up. he was just always like everything he'd done really well.
Like, nauseatingly well.
Yeah, yeah. You know that person who just like he could do anything. If you give him a guitar, he'll probably play it like brilliantly. Like it was like he was just that. He was that kind of guy. But I loved him for it. I loved him for it. He's a guy that you'd want in the trenches with you. He's a guy you'd want your manager to be. And I thoroughly enjoyed my time alongside Matt.
Matt, you've got to be really nice to him now.
No, you can hammer me. You've already done that, so.
Oh, what annoyed me? It annoyed me the fact that he used to score with every opportunity and I couldn't do it myself. That used to be really annoying.
Gents, this has been an absolute pleasure. Lovely to see you both catching up as well. And, I mean, respectively, wish you both the very, very best for Sunday. And as you quite rightly said, there's a foot in both camps for Craig. There's a foot firmly in one camp for you, Matt, and that is firmly with Wycombe Wanderers. You've both been wonderful. Right, get following and find us all in the usual places, wherever you get your podcast from. Or you can watch it all on YouTube. Chaps, you've been on YouTube. Way to everyone. My name's David Prusser, and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.